Welcome to a Petri Dish News Update. I'm Bonnie Petrie. On May 7th, those who followed public health during the COVID pandemic heard a familiar greeting.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
That's how World Health Organization Inspector General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus opens every talk. But this wasn't another update about COVID-19.
Thank you for joining us for this briefing on the Hunter virus.
A cruise ship had been roaming the South Atlantic Ocean for weeks, harboring a deadly virus, apparently brought on board by a Dutch couple in Argentina, and it had spread.
So far, 8 cases have been reported, including 3 deaths. 5 of the 8 cases have been confirmed as hantavirus, and the other 3 are suspected.
Now, hantaviruses are not new or unheard of. 35 people died of hantavirus in Texas between 1993 and 2023. There were nearly 900 cases nationwide during that time, but everyone in the U.S. picked up the disease from rats. They didn't get it from another human. Those on the cruise ship did.
The species of hantavirus involved in this case is the Andes virus, which is found in Latin America, and is the only species known to be capable of limited transmission between humans.
On May 11th, more than 100 passengers had evacuated the ship in the Canary Islands. The journey of the MV Hondius, a polar cruiser designed to bring adventurers willing to pay up to $30,000 a fare for what the company calls, quote, first-hand contact with the Arctic and Antarctica, was over. But the virus that ended their trip has a 42-day incubation period, so this story isn't over. More when we continue this Petri Dish News Update after this.
Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/BHC. Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio's Mays Cancer Center, South Texas NCI-designated cancer center, providing cancer care for patients, advancing research, and educating the next generation of leaders. Mays Cancer Center is working to end cancer in South Texas and beyond. Learn more at mayscancercenter.org.
Hi, you're listening to a Petri Dish News Update. So let's pick up the story on Monday, May 11th, when 18 Americans potentially exposed to hantavirus on a Dutch-flagged cruise ship called the MV Hondius were evacuated back to the States. 16 were brought to Nebraska, 2 to Georgia. Dr. Maximo Brito is a professor of infectious diseases at the University of Illinois in Chicago and the vice president of the Infectious Diseases Society of America. I asked him, what would be next for them?
So the plans are to keep them on isolation while we figure it out if they are symptomatic or are carrying the virus. So they will be tested. I'm assuming they'll be in some sort of isolation. And then after a reasonable time passes, then they will be eventually released home.
But I think there's not a lot of agreement between experts about what a reasonable time might be.
There isn't agreement because the incubation period of this disease can be long. And so, as your listeners would understand, keeping a person that has no symptoms for 42 days in confinement might be a problem. But I think that with testing and taking the proper precautions, they should be able to come up with a reasonable isolation time to then release these folks.
And then some experts think they should continue to quarantine themselves for the full length of the 42 days. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure the folks who were in the boat realize the attention that all of this is getting, and I'm sure they're all reasonable people, and that they will follow isolation protocols at home if they're asked by the authorities to do that. And especially the ones that are asymptomatic and test negative for the disease, they present little to no risk to the general public. So everything that will be done from there on is to try to minimize this risk to zero.
All right, so let's talk about hantavirus. Unlike COVID, this is not an unknown quantity. We have a few strains in different types of rodents here in the United States. The most prevalent hantavirus strain circulates in Western deer mice in the Southwest, including in Texas. It's called the Sinombre strain.
But because the Sinombre strain has little to no ability to transmit between people, we don't worry about widespread dissemination. And the possibility of this and the strain with this 9 cases then becoming prevalent in the U.S. is very, very low. So I don't think at the moment, with what we know now, there's cause to panic.
I don't think there's cause to panic either. But if we've learned anything from COVID and the flu, it's that when there are different strains of a virus floating around, there's always a chance of reassortment, right? In which different strains swap parts and sort of make something new. And that can be a problem.
This virus is not like COVID. Or influenza, for that matter. So the ability to rearrange or the ability to change or mutate so fast is less than it was for COVID and it was for influenza. So that is why we think, and it's our hope, that this epidemic will be contained with the appropriate measures that are taking place at the moment.
Because even though this Andy strain can spread between humans, it doesn't easily spread between humans.
It's not like COVID or measles, for example, that are very, very highly transmissible. And you can be in the presence of someone with the disease and you can breathe it in very easily and get the disease. So it'll be harder to get. You need to be in close proximity, in close contact with people.
You know, when I first heard this was a hantavirus, I think a lot of people thought there must be rats on the ship because most hantaviruses do not spread person to person. But the working theory now is that the first couple that got sick, they got sick when one of them picked up the virus while they were both bird watching in a landfill in rural Argentina. And then they got on the ship and passed it on to other people. Now, the couple had been bird watching throughout South America for 3 months at that point. Does this conclusion surprise you?
No, I'm not surprised because that's where it happens. It comes from wildlife. It comes from rodents. It comes from when you're in proximity to that. These adventure type of travels, it's not new that they're associated with some risk of disease. We have, for example, folks that go exploring caves are at risk of getting histoplasmosis. Folks that go in safaris and don't take the proper precautions can develop malaria. So this is not new, that adventure travel that brings you in close proximity to nature and to wildlife, transmit diseases.
But it was kind of a perfect storm.
Because it was, number one, an Andy strain that can be transmitted between people. And then you have the index cases going into a confined space like a ship with symptoms of the disease. So I think it was a chain of circumstances that is not usual or typical that created this particular outbreak.
I've heard some experts say the risk of this kind of metaphorical perfect storm increases as the planet warms and as the climate changes.
So when climate changes in areas, or when we as humans encroach in the spaces where wildlife lives, then these diseases become more common because the proximity between the vector and the human becomes closer. And so it is a possibility that climate change may be impacting not more prevalence of diseases, but more proximity between the vector that transmit the disease and humans.
This is the first time there's been an outbreak of hantavirus on a cruise, but it seems like I'm always hearing about norovirus outbreaks on cruises. I know statistically there are a lot of cruises and the percentage that end up with a bunch of sick people on board is very small. And so while it's not every cruise, it's always a cruise, you know? So should we be more thoughtful about the choices we make when we travel?
On the whole, I think cruises are pretty safe places. I mean, they are inspected. And because these outbreaks tend to occur in places where people congregate and they're in confined spaces, when the conditions are right, some diseases will disseminate in this sense. But you could say the same thing about planes. You could say the same thing about big parties, big gatherings. I mean, it's part of the enjoyment of life. So I think that with the right precautions, for example, if you are older, if you have comorbidities, if you have diseases that make you more prone to catching infectious diseases, then maybe you should consult to your doctors for the necessary precautions before you board the cruise. But on the whole, you know, we should continue living and continue to be aware of what's going on. And with the proper cleaning techniques in ships and whatnot, and not letting the guard down and inspecting ships, then folks should go about their business.
But it does feel kind of like there is a warning in here that we ignore at our peril, you know? Do you think so? And if so, what is it?
The warning would be that, you know, there is an association between vectors and climate. And so if we continue to not pay attention to the changes in climate or urbanization of areas that are typically inhabited by wildlife, then we could see diseases that have very low prevalence, or like in the case of COVID, diseases that didn't exist can appear. And so the warning is that we have to strike a balance and try to pay attention to climate change, pay attention to where we build infrastructure for humans, and make sure that we respect wildlife, that they have their spaces, and we should be mindful and respectful of that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maximo Brito, a professor of infectious diseases at the University of Illinois in Chicago and the vice president of the Infectious Diseases Society of America. And thank you for listening to this Petri Dish News Update. I'm Bonnie Petri. Talk to you soon.